a smooth, graceful entrance. That's all I got.
Okay. Good afternoon, and welcome to the October 28, 2024 special board meeting. 4 o'clock, so I'm calling the meeting to order. We're going directly to open session. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Moment of silence, please. Thank you. Before we approve the agenda, I need to take a roll call. Mr. Johnson.
Here.
Ms. Wise.
Here.
Mr. Hayes.
Here.
Ms. Jones.
Here.
I'm here. Mr. Knuble.
Here.
Need a motion for the approval of the agenda.
So moved, Will Knuble.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Knuble, seconded by Ms. Wise. All in favor?
Mr. President.
Yes, sir.
If I may, before you vote, item 3C under Superintendent's Report. Recommendation regarding bid tag C, architectural engineering services. I'd like to table that item till the November 13th meeting. Recommendation is under review by, will be under review by legal counsel, and I don't want to bring a recommendation forward to you until it's been reviewed by legal counsel. So I'd like to pull it from the agenda for this evening and place it on the November 13th. So that would be a change to the agenda.
I need a motion for the approval of the agenda with the change noted by Dr. Carson for item C.
So moved, Will Knuble.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Knuble, seconded by Mr. Johnson. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. And just a note for the record that it would also include item C under agenda action, which is the complimentary recommendation.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next, we move to Superintendent's Report.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time, everyone's time for this special meeting. Thought we'd add on a few things while we have you in the room. Along the way, we're going to begin with Dr. Peel and some updates regarding personnel. Dr. Peel.
Good evening. List of people tonight. Thank you for getting the forms in. We look for them to start here soon. We have 3 new hires, special education teacher, Brown, who is a graduate of Sussex Tech, also a paraprofessional, Tony Hazard, who will also be coaching basketball with us, and then an adult education, a new administrative assistant with them. This is a new position, this man shift. Also, some adult education hires since the beginning of the semester, 3 we have there. And then we have coaches, our varsity head swimming coach with assistants, and then also the rest of the boys basketball coaching that we have there, and 1 volunteer.
And just for clarification, or just know, Kyle Jones is my nephew.
Who?
Kyle Jones.
So is there something we need to talk about?
No, I just don't want to come up later like, oh, you voted for him and he's your nephew.
I just want to be above the
board.
Absolutely.
So we're excited about our new basketball team and also
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Dr. Peel knows Kyle.
Yeah.
Knows he's my nephew.
Thank you, Dr. Peel.
Nothing like you.
Huh?
She's nothing like you.
Respect.
You know, some boots.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All contractors are.
Item B under the superintendent's report, we had our bid openings on October the 8th, significant number of contracts. It's the majority
of our project by far. It's contained in bid pack B, and we're pleased to have Dean Johnson from RYJ here to present the information and the work that's been done so far regarding the bids, which would we would hope ultimately end with a recommendation for your consideration so that we can move forward. So, Mr. Johnson, thank you for being here. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Dr. Carson. As he said, I'm here to present the bid pack for the results of bid pack B, also go over a budget update and tell you what we have left to bid, and also go over the construction schedule. When we bid it out as a base bid, we had seven alternates. One alternate had an A and a B. The alternates that we're ultimately accepting or asking you to accept are alternates 1 and 6B. Alternate 1 is for the additional classroom space, and alternate 6B is to get the, which I believe is the preferred controls contractor for a district. Alternate B had no cost increase too, so that was just basically, it's like the better cheap one. I'm not gonna read through all the bid numbers, but these are all the apparent low bidders. We had 30 total bid pack. You know, as you can see, the first line is the base bid amount, and then the following lines are the alternates. We had a good bidder turnout. I consider it a successful bid day. You're probably wondering if we've worked with these contractors. We have worked with all the contractors except for one. You know, they're all capable of doing the projects. I'm not going to say some of them are favorites, but you know, you gotta deal with the cards that you're dealt, and you know, they're all workable, and I think you bring a successful project to the district. After we accepted the bids, you know, we had scope reviews where we basically go over the scopes of work with all the contractors to make sure they have everything they're supposed to have in the bid packs. We record these meetings, that way we have it documented, and that way when we go forward and they say they don't have something, we can remind them that they do. They'll still say they don't, and remind them again to do. Also, what we're currently doing is we're working on some BE items, value engineering items, to put some money back into contingency. Here's a list of some of the items that we are working with. We don't have an exact dollar amount, but some of these savings are quite substantial, and you know, we'd like to, you know, make sure the district has enough contingency moving forward. And you know, and BEing is also just good because sometimes, you know, contractors have a better idea or can find a better product at the same price. After bid pack B, you know, we still have to do bid pack C. This is a list of the stuff that will be in bid pack C. Some asbestos abatement, existing school. It's probably just to say we're going to renovate the existing school, do some demolition and some site work, along with some of what I consider like the outbuildings, like in the canopy walkway out to the football field. You got any questions on bid pack C? I don't think we have an exact schedule when we're going to get that out, but we're looking to start design on that in the next few months, and I would imagine, you know, bidding that out probably the next 18 to 20 months. Here's a budget update. You can see where your funding was and the additional funding that we received. It also shows your basic building costs for bid pack A, which was the site work, bid pack B, which is basically your building. We also have a placeholder for bid pack C and the soft cost. Currently right now, we're looking at about $3.2 million in contingency. As I said, with the BE items, we're hoping to increase that, and I think we will be able to increase that significantly. Tentative construction schedule. I don't know if anyone's been out there recently, but the building pad is complete. You know, as soon as we get some submittals and shop drawings in, we'll be able to start foundations. Right now, they have, you know, roughly 30% of sewer and sanitary, and about 60% of the water line. They're starting to stone all of, like, the paving areas. We are scheduled to pave, I think, the third week of November. That's what we're shooting towards. And basically paving everything back to the school and around the school except for the fire lanes. We don't want to do the fire lanes because that would mean we have to put the curbs in around the building. If we do that, we're just going to destroy them. So we're going to pave everything we can, do what we can now. There will be some collateral damage because there's some electrical that we're trying to get roughed in prior to paving, and I don't think there's any feasible way to get that all in now, so we'll probably have to rip some of it out, but I think the value of getting the asphalt down and having a better working area through the construction process is worth what little bit of asphalt we'll have to rip out. Our construction schedule is for 30 months for bid pack B. We're looking for substantial completion in spring of 27, so you guys can, you know, get all your furniture and equipment into the building, get familiar with it during the summer of 27, and have kids in the fall of 27, school year 28. And at that point, once the kids are in there and everything's good, we'll start on pack C, which will start with the asbestos abatement and demolition of the existing school. So my recommendation is to approve bid pack B.
Any questions for Mr. Johnson? Just a couple of comments I want to, first of all, thank RYJ for their work through this time and certainly the bidding process. As Dean has said, we continue to have energetic conversations about VE and conversations with our team. We're still looking at a variety of things, but one of the things that I did want to note for the record, and Dean had it on the board, the alternate one was the addition of the third floor classrooms. We had put that in the CN with the ability to expand in order to be able to accommodate 1,800 students. It's important. The Department of Education has approved that planning, but they put one asterisk next to it. They said that we could not use market pressure money to build the third floor addition. And then this board has also been setting aside funding in the maintenance set-aside fund with the intention of adding on to this building in order to maximize the, lower the square foot cost in the event that we had to do the addition. Had we had a bad bid day, which I agree with you, I don't think we did. I think we had a good bid day, that we would have had those funds available in the event that we needed to do so. However, with 11 classrooms and 13,000 square feet, the ad for that, we had committed $6 million of local funds to go into that. So for the record, that third floor addition is being will be paid for with local funding along the way. All five, the ground face block, we continue to have conversations, both interior and exterior, about ground face block and the ability to save some potential dollars along the way. And there are some significant dollar savings that are attached to this. I think we were fortunate in having, say, seven alternates, but it's certainly a far cry from 37 alternates or 27 alternates, and trying to put that puzzle together. The overwhelming majority of this project was included in the base bid, which was the intention all along. There were some really tight bids, in my opinion, people close to each other with big numbers, and that gives us a feeling of assurance that there were some folks that were there. There were some things that had higher expense attached to it than what we had thought, and things that came in with a lower expense than we thought. When we put it all together, we end up with the contingency that was good. One of those was in carpentry programs, and there's a lot of things that get added into the carpentry bid along the way, but they've also been vetted along the way. So we're pending the outcome of VE. We concur with the recommendation. We'd like to proceed getting contracts out so that we can stay on schedule. As you know, through the design process, this recommendation is coming to you later than we wanted it to. We wanted it to be 2 months ago, And so the pressure becomes applied to RYJ and the contractors for the September 27th start. And they're off to a great start. Kinsley's doing great work along the way, and the coordination's been great. But this project is more than an ocean, and there's a lot of big and complicated work that has to be done along the way. But we have confidence in our team, certainly in RYJ, to manage the project and move forward. And if we're fortunate and made that timeline of late spring of 27, then you have to envision moving a whole lot of things over into a new building, and then going through that process of getting open and taking care of the rest of the old building that's going to be demoed, and equipment. And if you've ever had the pleasure of moving, personally moving, now take it, with 300,000 square feet of vocational nuts and bolts, and moving all that, it's going to be a job. It's going to be a big job.
It is.
And then, and the project continues beyond 27. The demo still has to occur on the new building, and the stadium still has to be built, and you know all of those things that are along the way. But the energy and enthusiasm has been appreciated, and work that's being done has been exciting to see. Groundbreaking tomorrow, official groundbreaking, although the pad site's done. But you'll get to see a lot of dirt tomorrow if you're going to attend. But
walk with a pad and test compaction. Make sure it's supposed to be.
Well, we haven't had rain, so
we've been very fortunate with the weather, and that's one of the reasons why we're going to get some pavement down.
Yeah.
So that's definitely plus.
Is pavement done is it a single layer? Is it a double layer?
We put the base pavement down. Yeah, and then what we'll do, we put a top layer on after construction is 95%. We'll try to top it out when there's no more big trucks coming in to ride on it, because we don't want
to. So to your example of electrical work, then we would do a cut, we would come back in, and then go back over with a finish.
Yeah, they would put the base back down in that little area,
right,
trench, and then they would top it all out, so you wouldn't see any cuts in here.
Okay.
Yeah, it would have been pretty simple, but there's some light poles that are actually in the middle of a few of the parking areas. If they were on the outside, it's, you know, easy, we just pipe it out, but when they're in the middle of the parking area, it kind of jams me up, and it wasn't feasible, even though I asked for my electrician to get in there and get that installed in 3 weeks, actually 2.5 weeks.
Yeah. Those are all the comments that I have. Mr. Heathy, Mr. Granoto, Mr. Johnson, anything else from your perspectives?
Good. Appreciate everything that's going smoothly so far.
We're excited for the opportunity to, you know, actually have the fun start. Now there's not fun with site work, but we actually see the building come out of the ground. That's
start going up instead of down.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Thank you, sir. Item D, under superintendent's report, we continue to explore a notion regarding, and through the planning process, we had asked the question about repurposing the poles that are at the current football stadium, either at the new stadium or in another possible location. Mr. Carnot spoke to me about this months ago in terms of an option. I wanted to see where we ended up on bids and dollars and local in order to be able to do that. Last week we had a conversation with RYJ, and I skedaddled, and Davis Bowen and Friedel, the civil engineers, with Guype, who is responsible for electric and power, and with Lighthouse Engineering about the possibility to do the following. In the next 4 to 5 weeks, you're going to see a lot of things happening with the stadium in terms of it being demolished, and the board will, I should say demolished, taken apart.
Deconstructed,
thank you. And you recall that the visitors' bleachers are actually going to be deconstructed and taken down to the track area itself, where there's a footprint on the plan there, where they're going to be reconstructed with new connectors and nuts and bolts and all those kind of things to provide a seating area for field hockey and track and anything else that ends up inside the track itself. The home side bleachers were in conversations with another school who may be able to utilize those bleachers after they would be deconstructed here. They would come get them and sign a waiver that saying they're responsible for everything once it leaves the site, and to go from there. So, but, I mean, the last thing we want is for those things to end up in a landfill or anything like that along the way. So if it can be repurposed, we're going to do that. The scoreboards themselves will come down, and they're shot, don't owe us a thing. What may be able to be used are the I-beams that hold the scoreboards coming up out of the ground and the foundations that are there. In conversation with Coach Quillen, our AD, and the coaches, they like the locations of the current scoreboards, baseball, softball, field hockey, but with the purchase of new boards and already having electric there, you know, we would powder coat all that, sand it all down, redo it, put some paint on it, make it look new, and then put new boards on it. It'll be another cost savings, but putting the scoreboards up there. It's all a precursor to what I'm trying to get to. The current light poles will come down. They're 90-foot poles, and the tops of the poles, which would have those cross arms and the lights themselves, are no longer salvageable or worth putting back up. They would be disposed of. And we're recommending to put new foundations in four corner locations. You'll see little red dots up there on my wall. That's not where they're going to go, but DBF would make a recommendation to the board of location, and what we intend to do is redress and reuse those poles. Jim Baker came out and looked at the poles, and at first sight he believes they have the structural integrity, and there's communication going on with lighting manufacturers where we would put new cross arms and new lights on. There would be new bases installed at the track area, which then gives us a degree of flexibility in the coming years and going forward to be able to have evening events at the track, field hockey, or whatever else would be played out there, location at least for the short term. We're cognizant of the distance to Route 9, and I've also become educated about how the lights that are on top of poles today are far, far more sophisticated than the lights that are up there currently, and what you can do to control the light and the foot candles and those types of things. This is a project that is not included in the project itself, but again, as I spoke of the third floor addition, everybody was mobilized. Electricians were mobilized. Everybody was mobilized for the third floor. Our cost per square foot on that's about $175 less per square foot because we're putting the addition on now, as opposed to, my guess is it would be base cost plus $175 if you had to bring everybody back. So the same concept is applying in this recommendation to the track, where we use local dollars and we
put the bases in the ground where the engineers tell us they need to be. And Kinsley's on board, ROIJ is on board, the professional engineers are on board. I'm expecting contracts from them. I do not have a budget for you at this point. I'm asking for your approval to proceed. With this, there would still be an approval process by the board about cost and funding and exactly what is going to be happening, but I think it's going to provide a benefit for our teams going forward. And also, even looking at the two northern poles, possibly providing some backlight assistance on to the roadway and the parking lot to light things up on the backside. If you typically see a field lights, they're focused down on the field. These would be going towards the Davis Farm on the backside, where they would be, could potentially be shined down from that standpoint. The engineers, electrical engineers, civil engineers, and everybody said it's the time to do it. If you do it, everything's tore up out there at this point, it would be the time. So this evening, I'm asking for permission to proceed with the asterisks that full budgetary and approval to proceed would rest with the board. That may come as soon as your November 13th meeting. They're hustling on it pretty good right now because time is of the essence, as they say, a long way. Questions, comments, or concerns? One of the things that I won't speak for you, but I guess I will. They may not end up at 90 feet, depending upon how they come apart and how they go back together. And I'm sure Mr. Baker is going to want to get an up close and personal look at the top of the poles before he certifies that, from a structural engineering standpoint, that they're okay. And we would need that. We're not going to proceed unless he says. I mean, the key to this to begin with was the poles themselves. If the poles were shot, we probably wouldn't be talking to you. He's saying that the poles he believes are in great shape, quite frankly, but he's not going to go 90 feet up in a bucket to tell us about the top. He's going to wait for it. He's going to wait for it to come down. He's a smart man. They're coming down anyways. So we'll take a look at that point.
If we wanted to put new poles up there in that location, any idea what the cost would be?
I don't know. I can tell you.
I mean, see what we save. Yeah.
Here's what I would tell you. I would tell you that the budget for stadium lighting in the new stadium with four poles at I believe there's 70 or 75s is $840,000.
That includes the lights.
That includes the lights.
How much is the lights and how much is the
pole? I don't know that.
Okay.
And that's Don Zook's number. I'm waiting for another number to see where it comes in. I would tell you that a substantial portion of that is the poles themselves. So having 490s that are galvanized and usable would be, I think, another good repurposing of something that we have, which I think is important to our community, if we're able to do that. So,
questions? My comment to you guys, because you don't see as much as Greg and I, because we're in these meetings, is to be able to use the hockey field as a multi-purpose field in the interim. Whether we do or don't, that's up for you. But the possibility that the lights bring is huge.
So this is a project we would do right away.
Yeah.
And I said we could have some better use of that. That makes sense.
Especially with everything getting torn up,
yeah.
The equipment here to do it, they're going to bring, they've got to bring in something pretty substantial to move them to begin with. So my assumption is that if they could use it, mobilize that piece of equipment once, it would be good. And it comes down to the engineering footprint for the base. You can take that rascal right down there and take them down and put them up. So we'll see what we get.
Is 90 feet the 90 suggested
feet,
height?
90 feet is abnormal.
That's what I thought.
Most field lights are in the 70 range, 70 to 75. And 30 years ago, there was a recommendation to put 90s in.
Some efficiencies, and 70 might be the right height for the light.
I think it also had to do with, you know, balls being thrown and getting something caught into the light. Going for, I think it's rare to see 90s. Are there any 90s around?
No.
I don't think there are.
Yeah. It's actually difficult to find a lift that'll go that high to even service the lights. Very few people would climb that high.
I don't understand why not.
The spikes are there.
It's windy at ground level. Go up 90 and see what you're hanging out to. Okay. If there are no other questions or comments, item E, strategic plan updates. We have five, as the board is aware, we have five goals that are part of our strategic plan, and I've asked leadership to comment and give you the fall update, as we said we would do, regarding each of the goals. Dr. Donovan is not here this evening. Mr. Bauger is going to present goal one. Mr. Bauger, the floor is yours. Thank you.
Try to make a connection with the new building. If you were here Friday evening for a football game, the number of individuals who were getting information related to where the new school was going to be and looking out, and the number of conversations that we had, people are pretty excited with it. These are alumni, so it's awesome to see. I'm here to present our strategic plan goal number one this evening. You should have a copy of the things that Dr. Donnelly submitted, and he and I worked together on that. The first portion of that is deals with at least one of the things that we've completed is our Delaware teacher growth and support system. We shared that with our teachers again this year. This is a new system that was developed and implemented fully last year. We work with our teachers to identify parts of that new evaluation model, and we're using that to look at walkthroughs. We're using that same process in our regular observations, and we're asking teachers to examine the way that they teach related to that, and also looking at student data. In addition to that, we're also going to be looking at quarter grades as we come up and looking at any students that are struggling, and also in any of our content areas that have consistent assessments. We're going to be using those assessments to look at ways that we can examine the teacher growth model system and also to improve student scores, whether that be on a test that all of our teachers in a social studies area and English area give, or on a quarter basis, or a final score basis, or a final grade basis, how we can improve along the way. So that process is kind of, we're moving into that process, but we're using the DTGSS model as a base for that, because that is evolved around that. That's also going to be related to our teacher's lesson plan template. I'll talk about it in a little bit. One of the other pieces within this first set of performance standards that we're looking at is articulation agreements, and I think Kelly Will is going to mention quite a few of the ones that we already have. I'm not going to take your thunder, I promise, not to do that. She'll talk a little bit more about some of our Ed Connect ones and also some of the ones that we have with our adult ed program. The ones that I'll mention are that we continue to look with Delaware Tech Community College at articulation agreements, and also with articulation agreements through the University of Delaware. We're continuing to look at ways to expand that to give our kids credits as if they go to either of those universities or colleges along the way. One of the really exciting things that is happening is we've been working with our Southern Regional Education Board, the SREB. Recently we had another meeting with them, with our academy, or what we're going to call moving forward our career academies. It's a name title change that we'd like to start to use. And I think what's going to happen out of this, as we look at integration projects, we're also going to look at ways that we can have our five school academies, our five major areas or pathways, career pathways that we have within our building, how we can have those five career academy structures, how we can impact student learning along the way. And that's been extremely exciting to work with SREB. One of the other things that we looked at this year, and one of the is in our strategic plan, is looking at artificial intelligence. If you get an email from some of our teachers, you might notice that it's designed partially from an artificial intelligence process. Our teachers are starting to use that to look at ways to design lesson plans or take a lesson plan that's pre-existing and adjust it or alter it. And they'll put it in an artificial intelligence way to look at ways that they can teach our kids or make our kids interactive with the subject area. Our staff felt that the most important thing was that they understood what artificial intelligence is about and how to use it, and then we can try to work with our students, just like our cell phone policies, work with our students to understand the best way that they can use artificial intelligence and not just to cheat on assignments. We're not doing that, but ultimately how to use it as a resource along the way. Jumping down to our measurable objective, two, one of our pieces there is looking at our lesson plan template. We've reviewed this twice already this year, once at our August pre-service week and once at our October 11th professional development sessions. During our walkthroughs and our traditional observations, we're using that to ensure that teachers are using the lesson plan template. We want to see pieces and parts of that. No matter how long we're in the classroom, if we're in the classroom for 45 minutes, we want to be able to see that and ask students if they're using that portion of the lesson plan template. If we jump down to the measurable goal, we are almost at our 50%. Well, last year we ended the year about 50% of our students were out in work-based learning. Right now we are at 45% of our students are out in work-based learning, and we're only finishing the first quarter of the year. Students are finding ways and are more interested in going out, and Mr. Johnson and our counselors are doing a great job of encouraging students to look at ways so that they can create some employable skills and or ways to get to college through the work-based learning processes. We'll see that jump dramatically in the spring, and it will continue, I think, to grow along the way. So that's pretty awesome. A school committee has recently been developed by Dr. Donovan, Dr. Bullock, and myself, and this is a way that we're looking at an interview process or a selection process for students who are in ninth grade to fully be placed in a proper CTE program that fits not only their interests but also their aptitude. We're looking at developing a cleaner process or a better process to support students when they get into that, when they finish their ninth grade year and they decide which CTE program they would like to go into. We're actually looking and we'll have a full presentation or a proposal to Dr. Carson coming up soon. We're interested in maybe even using a partial remote day or a full remote day to be able to bring our ninth graders in to fully work them through a process using grades that they've already earned, programs that they've already been in, and then also teaching them the soft skills that they're going to need when they go out in the world when they're in 12th grade. I think ultimately what that's going to create is a ninth grade academy. So that we look at ways in which we're bringing students in. So when they get accepted here, one of the things we're also looking at is an acceptance day, so that we would start to work with parents and students to say, this is what we're about, this is what our expectations are, here's some things that we're gonna do when you first arrive here in the spring after you've been accepted. And then throughout your ninth grade year, looking at ways to teach students to develop those soft skills, to develop what an employer would want. And then using our seniors and our business partnerships to come into the building and teach our ninth graders, this is really what you need to do over the next 3 years until you're out of here when you graduate high school. So it's really interesting to see kind of this develop. We started with an idea to allow students to select their CTE programs that are more aligned to what they really need or what they really want, and it's kind of expanded beyond that point. So a lot of things moving in that direction. If we jump down to the next one, student data was collected on both incoming and presently admitted students to ensure that our multi-language learners, our MLL students, have been identified correctly. We're creating individualized ideas or lesson, an individualized plan to make sure that those students are trying, that those students are more successful along the way. Patricia Hastings is guiding all of that. We've adjusted our curriculum in English to make sure that we're providing the best possible supports, not only to make sure that they're ready for whatever they decide to do after high school, but also being successful while they're here in high school. And as our MLL numbers, our multi-language learner numbers expand and continue to expand, we're looking at ways for teachers to understand how it's best to teach content material to students who don't really speak English at this point, for our handful of kids that are at that point. How do we teach our middle level kids? How do we teach our upper level kids that are struggling with the English language? I think eventually as our population continues, we'll probably be coming back at some point and asking for additional staffing in that realm. But Patricia has been doing an incredible job with our program so far and making connections throughout our district or throughout our county. And the last portion that I have down here is related to diversity and cultural groups throughout our school. Documentation has been adjusted and provided to the state as far as curriculum is concerned. And not only are our curriculums been adjusted, but every opportunity that our SGA and our student groups find to infuse some kind of cultural aspect, we provided that. For example, recently at our pep rally, we had a multicultural fashion show that we added in. This year they're looking, and they started to do this last year, they're doing a cultural event during the school day, during lunches, and they'd like to expand that, and not only do that during lunches, but they also would like to do something that's multicultural after school to bring in folks from around our community to present to our students. So it's another pretty awesome thing that's happening with our school. Any questions? There's a lot more detail in writing there.
Thank you, Mr. Barber. So we present this to you both in the fall and then in the spring, and then it repositions itself with the next iteration of strategic plan for next summer. Mr. Athey.
Evening, ladies and gentlemen. So I have goal two, and broken down into three sections: safety, security, existing facilities, and new facilities. So we'll just roll down here, just kind of give you a little summary. For safety and security, the upside is much more quantitative. So looking at hard numbers and things that have actually occurred, so a little easier to condense down. Just to follow along. So the first part, communicating with stakeholders and practice all mandated safety security drills. At this point, all progress points have been met. The latest fire and lockdown drills were 916 and 923 respectively. And of course, fire drills are every month. And then we have tabletop exercises and other drills scheduled throughout the year. The second portion will develop, implement, communicate campus-wide emergency response plan. Again, all mandates, communication, and training needs have been met at this point, working with constables, high school administration, and the district-wide administration as well, and trying to expand that into best practices across the board for all stakeholders in the district as well as the community. And that was in conjunction also with Crossroads as one of our off-site areas there. Daycare here, we have adult learners. So keeping all of that incorporated in the plan and communications. Find a lot of that information on our website as well. We will also implement revised constable-based safety security program. And I'm very pleased to say that all positions currently filled with certified constables. So everyone that is in a constable position is truly certified as a constable. The most recent, we had the fortune to hire someone who's already certified. If they're not, they have to go through the process to be trained and certified and go through that whole thing. And we've even been able to extend coverage into the evenings as well to help with our adult education courses in the evening, as well as athletic events and additional things there. Questions on safety and security?
All right.
Existing facilities. Again, just continue to address the needs of the existing facilities. In everything you'll see and hear me talk about is safety, security as we move forward. Again, all progress points have been met to date. We have different metrics to judge that by in all the different departments. And any minor issue tickets and known addressable major issues. The key word there is addressable. Some things that might come up that are major issues aren't feasibly addressable. We don't have any of those at this point, so no worries there. But, you know, if something does come up with the portion of the building coming down, it might not always make sense to put effort into it. But we do anyway. At this point, there's no reason to not. We like to take care of our building, and our crews do an excellent job. And with the new facility, same thing, safety, security, emergency response considerations, and not just in the planning and designing, but also in the implementation. We've, again, great team, RYJ, the design team, as well as Kinsley thus far. All the mandates for all the different departments across the state have been met or exceeded at this point, and I would like to say exceeded because a lot of what we've been doing is looking at what's the minimum, and we want to improve that because, as we know, moving down the road, things come up and get added to that. And at this point, again, zero job site safety violations today. Questions about existing or new facility?
Thank you, Mr. Anthony. Dr. Peel.
All right, I have goal three, and we have hired 25 total new staff this year. So, busy year, 12 certified, 13 classified. Those include ones we presented tonight. We have moved forward with our new teacher mentoring program. That was, the state had redone the program. We applied for a grant, and we're one of the first districts that to be able to do that. So we do have two, what we're calling induction coaches, which are mentor teachers. They have, one has three mentors under, three new teachers, and the other one has two, I believe. We have a lead coach and our district coach. They all went to training this summer, and then we're having someone from DOE that's going to come down and audit us, look at our plan, look what we're doing, see how it's going. So we expect that sometime in the winter months. The handbook continues to be updated this year. We also combined it into one handbook along with the high school to make it easier and more accessible for everyone. We're looking at past evaluations and revamping some of our evaluations. Most recently, working with Frank Dio on our IT evaluation and kind of making that a little more specific to what they do. And we have implemented our frontline system, which included reimbursement along with many other documents to really streamline a lot of those processes and make them easier for our teachers and staff. The next objective, recruiting qualified teachers. We do have our one resident teacher, Ms. Hopkins, who is going through a relay program and also working with Debbie Long in social studies and also in special education department. So through this year, she is student teaching for the year and also taking classes at the same time. So she's been a real asset to our school and is learning a lot. We have our hiring process in place. I think those have been in interviews know we follow the same system and have all of that really vetted and in place of a good sound system. I have an upcoming presentation to UD education students for I believe next month in early November. So we will look to next year to also continue the recruitment activities based upon our need. Hopefully we don't have 25 again. moving along, also the multi-tiered system of support. We have a regulation in Delaware that requires us to have a MTSS system. This is really, it makes it our responsibility to do something different when a student is not learning or fulfilling the potential that we feel they could.
So what are we doing differently to help that student learn? Ultimately, the MTSS system has to take place in order for a student to become identified as special education. So you can't just say, well, they didn't do well in class, so they must be a special ed student. No, we've got to try other interventions, and before we can really jump to that and say that they need to be tested or there must be something else going on. So through the MTSS system is how we would do that. It's a tiered system. So first tier is what's happening in the classroom. Second tier is more low-level interventions with maybe someone pushing in or some more individual help. And then the third tier would be more intensive. Maybe a student comes out of class or has a different setting where they would learn. This is not only for academic reasons, but also for social-emotional. We want to make sure our students are sound and social-emotionally, so if there's something going on there, how are we intervening to make sure that they are doing okay so when they go into class, they can learn. really what has augmented that this year has been the addition of our school psychologist, also our second social worker, and also working with our wellness center, who are on the team and valuable to this process. Also our MLL teacher, who has been part of our team. We've had the University of Delaware Technical Assistance team for MTSS. They actually are paid by DOE, and they have come down and had a meeting with us. We've had several conferences on the phone, and they're helping us lead through this process and really refine what our practices are. This is including a referral form that we developed, we did presentation to staff, and also really merging together. We found a lot of some of our folks were meeting separately, and we felt like we needed to come together and talk about the whole student in terms of attendance, social, emotional, academic, all at once, so we can really get to the root of what it's going on. But it is a work in progress, and I think we're using this year to really work through how we are doing this, so we can say we have.
So any of our students who might be considered for return to their home school would be involved in this?
That has come to the forefront, yes. That would be all the more reason to have the system in place. If anyone asks, well, what did we do to intervene or support them along the way? This would be it. If we didn't just say, we gave you an assignment, you didn't do it, you didn't learn, well, there you go. So it really calls us. So yes, that has been the forefront of the topic of conversation, and you know, also there's a record keeping part of this as well, which is something we weren't doing well. We had a lot of good people doing good things, but sometimes they were doing them in isolation. They didn't know the other person was doing it. We're coming together to talk about it, and we didn't really keep record of, okay, what you're doing now is not working, so we need to do something different, and we need to give it time to work, and then if that's not working, we need to do it different again. So that's really what a lot of this is making us do.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Peel. Ms. Erickson.
Okay, so let's start. My goals, measurable objective is to create a Sussex Tech profile publication, hoping originally that would be done by now, and we put that on pause. It's very comprehensive, very design heavy, so the copy is written. We're in the process of doing the design work, then we'll get it out to everybody involved to start proofing it, and the goal has been changed to have it done in January when we come back after. My second goal for this goal four is to develop the Alumni Association. We have currently working with the media production students, created two alumni spotlight videos. We have, as of Friday night with the alumni tent, we have three other alumni that have decided to come in and get video for it. So once they're done, we can start releasing them on social media. So we're excited about that. We did have alumni board presence at our open house, and they were also at the game on Friday night. We have a board meeting. We're going to schedule one for November so that we can start talking about some other big things for them to do, including a fundraiser, because clearly they need money. They did get $5 donation on Friday night, though, so that's really exciting. Measurable objective three, it is to revise the eighth grade open house to include a community day component. We did have over 440 students come through open house with a total of over 1,100 people. Honestly, I don't think that any of them were here just for community. I think they were really all here because they want their child to come to this school. But we were able to move our teachers into classrooms and have them do activities to engage people to come in and learn more about our school and learn more about what they're doing. We created kind of a marketplace area and a commons area. It was new this year, and it's something that I think we'll continue to build on, especially as construction starts and people are really curious about what's happening here. I think it will draw more people in the future. Measurable goal, foundation internal fundraising campaign. Our goal this year is to have 100% participation in our faculty and staff giving funds to our foundation. We're not asking for a lot of money, we're just asking for participation. That campaign will begin on November 1st and it will run in through the end of the school year, so we'll keep you updated the next time we go through this. The WBL policy manual and letter update brochure creation, that's been complete. Mr. Johnson's been using it since the start of the school year. And the CTE video campaign, the media production students are creating CTE videos for each area, and then we will start putting them on social media in February for CTE. So, anyone have any questions? Thank you.
See
you all tomorrow, 4 o'clock, groundbreaking.
Thank you. Mrs. Whaley, call 5.
Good evening, everybody. So our first objective surrounds improving instruction in all adult ed programs and meeting our state and federal goals. In Groves, we are on target to exceed our goal of 35% of enrolled students graduating. Currently, we have 3 students that have completed all of their graduation requirements, and 47 students are on our potential graduates list. In order to be identified as a potential graduate, a student has to need 5 or less credits to graduate with the class this year. As we continue our monthly enrollments, we expect that number to grow. In apprenticeship, we are on track to have at least as many year 4 graduates as we did last year. Overall, enrollment in apprenticeship has grown from 509 at this time last year to 597. Similarly, in health professions, we're on track to have 90 to 100 graduates this year. So we're confident that those enrollment numbers in apprenticeship and health professions will let us exceed the Perkins goals and outcomes and goals that we have. Any questions about that? The second one is to increase opportunities for students to earn advanced standing credit for prior learning and dual enrollment credits. We've signed new articulation agreements with the Cape and Lopen School District and Indian River School District this year for healthcare dual enrollment. Those classes are underway. The credits these students earn will go on their high school transcripts. We're currently working on a similar articulation agreement with the Laurel School District. That will be quite the coup. Excited. We also have a new dual enrollment program for our Groves and GED students. I say we're articulating with, you know, all high schools in the area. How about we articulate with ourselves and let our Groves and GED students be able to be dual enrolled? So we wrote a grant, got some money from DOL, and we have 16 slots for Groves and GED students to enroll in one of the construction trades or a CDL. Completely free to them, all paid for with the grant. So we have, for those 16 slots, we had 80 students. I was like, uh-oh. I keep telling Mike and Shelley we need a bigger boat. At Sussex Tech, we have added patient care technician and EKG technician to our menu of dual enrollment classes that students can take here, and these are all on top of the articulation agreements that we signed in September with Polytech and Castle County for technical students from there can come here and they get advanced standing in our programs. High school visitations have started. Mike and Shelley are doing a great job going out to all of the high schools in Sussex County. They work very closely with the counselors. The counselors identify students that are interested in our programs, and they, you know, gather in the auditorium or somewhere. And Mike and Shelley said they're very interested. They ask really good questions, and they're serious. And they're looking at apprenticeship and healthcare, you know, our programs as an alternative to four-year college. Our annual counselor's breakfast is November the 19th, so that we will talk more about dual enrollment then with them. Any questions about dual enrollment?
That's not a question, but a comment. I would tell you that the work with the District of Residence high schools has been positive. I would tell you that I've probably said this before, I think it's helped significantly in taking the edge off of a we and they mentality, and where there's a more of a, at least I believe, a spirit of cooperation about how do we help students get access to the services that are available through the adult ed program. So I think you're seeing it continue to crawl, walk, and this will be a runner in terms of, I mean, parents are interested in and are aware of careers in vocational technical trades and the access to that through adult education and programs as opposed to a college loan program. And so there's a high degree of interest there from some folks along the way. So I nothing wrong with going to college. I'm saying as an alternative, there are options for students that are available here and will be available here. So thank you.
Our third objective is to hire and retain well-qualified professional staff. We continue to offer a competitive wage. The part-time hourly rate increased this year 3% from $37 to $38.11. We're continuing to participate in community events. So far, we've done 8 this fall. For example, at Saturday's 8th grade open house, we had 2 people stop by our table and express interest in teaching for our programs. One was HVAC and one was electrical. So making lots of good connections there, not just with recruiting students to come to the programs, but also recruiting people to come in and teach for us. We currently need 1 HVAC instructor and 1 electrical instructor. Otherwise, we are fully staffed. Our retention is historically very good. We have several people that have been with us 10, 15, 20 years.
Thank you, Mrs.
Great
Mayor.
Job.
Appreciate it.
And then a couple of information items before we continue to move on. First being, at our last meeting, we had a conversation about graduation and graduation locations. We have elected not to pursue the Delaware Tech arrangement. We've reached out to other facilities in the county, and they're just simply not big enough to accommodate our program. So we're going to look at retooling graduation using our own gymnasium again on the inside. We can seat 1,100 in the bleachers. We can put 300 plus on the floor. Looking at recessing the stage back a little bit, and we'll ask our friends at the fire marshal's office to be friendly, and we'll conduct an event. I know Mr. Bogger's going to be scheduling his graduation committee, but and pending. And, you know, we've had a couple of dry runs with internal
graduations because of weather in the past, and that's not, that was a consideration also, access. But it's assuming a successful experience, I think we can could expect an internal graduation for probably the next 2 to 3 years. So that graduation in 28 would be held in a new school.
We'll be able to stream it, I guess.
Everything will be live streamed. We've started work on that already. We also did the the screens and the commons area in the cafeteria, but the access to live streaming has proven to be something that people have taken advantage of. Like as an example, I shared with you, we had over 1,000 live streams on one of the Friday night football games, and there are people who were able to see the game and to access their own technology at home to be able to stream that arrangement. We're also talking about some other ways to get interaction with parents that are able to come with their graduates and senior walk. Mr. Barter and his team have been having those conversations also. So while not ideal, obviously we're going to do the best we can with what we've got and continue on from there.
Sounds like a pretty good idea. If we were to go off site outside somewhere, we still have to deal with weather. And that would have been a train wreck to try.
Some of the base paving they're doing would be possible to access some of that parking for special events.
Possibly.
Because parking is going to be.
I think we've had conversations today, continue to have conversations about field preparation, parking access. Location. So yes, I think that'll be the possibility.
With the base.
Beyond base paving and all of that. I know they're talking about the I think it's the north parking lot again towards the Davis Farm that probably get its rough paving. Dean said tonight he's going all the way around the building and everything else. So we'll see what gets put down and. Man, oh man, if the base paving gets defined, then you're really going to get a perspective of what we're looking at going forward with the building. So that's exciting news. Gina mentioned the event tomorrow in your packet is the schedule at 4 o'clock. Timing is essential for you because I'm going to tell you 3:22, buses are rolling, students are rolling, there's a lot of traffic going on, and it lasts about 9 to 10 minutes, and from a ballpark standpoint, this is my way of being polite and saying you probably don't want to arrive early, and in that, but if you're here by 3:35, 20 of 4. I think you'll be fine.
Where exactly is it?
It is if you are walking down the path, heading for the.
I'm sorry.
If you're heading towards the football stadium, it is in the driveway. If you think about what we call the C lot, where all the cement fixtures are, right there, you'll see we've got 3 tents that'll be up. There'll be some mums, depending upon the weather tonight.
The
band will be there, and you won't miss it.
We won't miss it.
In terms of where we are, but there'll be some parking available right there in.
So come in by the light you're saying there, and
yeah,
right,
but
there.
You can park in the C lot.
There'll be some.
A little bit.
There'll be some.
There should be parking in the A lot as well.
Okay. Yeah.
You're at that time.
I think we're going to be all right with parking. And you know this as well as I do. There's that window when there's folks coming out this one. The buses are heading those ways, but then it clears. and I think we'll be fine. So just wanted you to be aware. It is casual tech gear for the event, whatever you, if you're inclined, anything. Probably going to be a little breezy, a little bit chilly, so if you have anything, a tech sweatshirt is fine. I mean, anything from that standpoint. So whatever you're comfortable with, you're welcome to do that. So you have your agenda there. That's all that I have for you, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Carter. Next, we'll move to public participation. Do we have anyone? Hearing none, we'll move to agenda action items. I need a motion for the approval of personnel action items.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Wise, seconded by Mr. Johnson. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Next, I need a motion for the approval of Bid Pack B contracts.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Ms. Jones. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. Next, I need a motion for the approval of repurposing football stadium light bulbs.
And if I may, sir, with the understanding, as I said to you, there would be a final proposal coming to the board regarding the project itself.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Jones, seconded by Ms. Wise. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. Is there any unfinished business or new business? Hearing none, our next board meeting is Wednesday, November 13th, 2024. I need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Sorry.
Motion made by Ms. Jones, seconded by Mr. Johnson. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Meeting's adjourned.